We don't stay on this Drake shit too long. Cause I know X can't get involved, so
gonna be a Peter Man weave.
Oh yeah.
Salute, but first and foremost, salute to X for being just a real, like, genuine person, bro. Like, it's person, the craziest shit.
Yeah.
The craziest shit to me with this whole album, which is predictable, super predictable, is how many motherfuckers will sit here and try to review an album that you knew you was gonna hate before you listen to it, because you don't like the artist. So it's like, yeah. I'm like, y'all got to do better, man. Y'all got to do better. Like, you can't, why are you giving energy to shit you just don't like? Period.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know you don't like the shit. It was not, it could have been nothing that dude could have did on that album to make you like that album. And you knew it.
You don't like it. You don't like it, right? You just don't like it. And that's why I be telling people, like, how you say you don't like something. I mean, something is bad or trash, but you know what I'm saying? You never even gave it a chance to listen. Yeah, if you don't like it, just don't pay attention to it. Just go to the next album. Like,
yeah, people tweeting all day about this shit.
About how much they hate it.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I really didn't like about the whole situation was on both parties. Like, you got the people who don't like Drake tweeting or talking about the album bad. Then you got the people who do like Drake who just listen for like that day, and all of a sudden it's a classic. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, goddamn, like, y'all give it some time. Like,
right.
What the hell going on? You know, a classic gotta live through the times of time. Like, it ain't just one day it's a classic. Nah, 5 years later, it still gotta be the same classic that it was when you first listened to it. And if it's not, it's not a classic. That's why I be trying to explain to people. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm not a Drake fan, so I didn't even give it no energy. And that was that. Like, the dude talented, but it's just not my thing. So I'm like, I'm not gonna say he bad. I'm not gonna say the album was bad because I didn't listen to it. So
listen to it.
And my opinion don't matter.
Most people that do a lot of that shit. Meezy said it. Me and Meezy was talking offline about it, and he said it perfectly. Man, they had them tweets been loaded for weeks, man.
In a draft last week.
Yeah,
bro.
Man, they've been loading up. One thing they had to change was once you drop three albums at one time, then they're like, okay, got to edit it a little bit so I can say that, you know, he went 0-3 or so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But enough of that. I know all of us listen to it outside of X.
Yeah.
D-Rod, what's your thoughts, man? Like, just on Ice, man. I'll be honest with y'all real quick for you.
So
I didn't listen to the other ones in their entirety at all yet, so I haven't really gotten into them. So just Ice.
Me neither. I only listen to Iceman so far.
Yeah, so I only listen to Iceman, and I'm probably only going to listen to Iceman because now it all makes sense now. He did those three albums because now with that, he's done with UMG. Now he got this $2 billion deal on the table where he control everything. So I get it. So he made the rap album, then he made the club album, and then the international, whatever it is, album. So I get it. So I'm not really going to put too much energy into those other two because I'm not going to listen to those on the daily. I've listened to Iceman like three times already, and I like it. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I like it. Like, I'm a fan of music. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, the motherfucker make good music, dog. Like, a lot of people might not rock with him, you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason, but it's like, the motherfucker can make good music, and it's like, I can't hate on that. So it's like, I like it. Like, I have no issues, you know what I'm saying, no problems, no issues with it. And what kills me is, like, it's been a lot of backtracking, because before they was like, oh, Kendrick done killed him, he can't come back from this, he gonna do an album, he ain't gonna do nothing. And what happened? The man number one, like, this is not 50 Cent versus Ja Rule, where it's like Ja Rule just after that battle, it's like he went downhill from there. No, the man bounced back. Jay-Z and Nas. Motherfuckers bounced back. Like, it's, well, and then, it's just what it is. So.
In comparison.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Ron, you crackling heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You all come, like, it's a little feedback on it. But yeah, even in that comparison, like, Drake would have been 50, I guess, in that sense, and then Kendrick would have been Ja Rule, I think, is how you would probably measure it up. I don't know. It's a little bit different because they both was big in their own ways, but I'm saying thing with Ja and 50, though. 50 was bigger than Ja ever got. Hey, so that is actually a pretty decent comparison. But yeah, he got Ja the fuck up out of there. He made Ja look real bad out there.
Ja, I mean, Ja was huge. Ja was huge at one time. And
he was bigger at first. That's for sure.
That's when 50, you know what I'm saying? 50, he played it smart, man. He found the opponent where the opponent couldn't last long. You know what I'm saying? I think this is the issue with Drake and Kendrick. Like, yeah, I think when Kendrick came, then yeah, he kind of beat Drake up, but Drake had longevity, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just gonna go away out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? He got his fan base and he gonna be Drake regardless. You know, the Ja Rule situation is that kind of remind me of like with T.I. and Flip. You know what I'm saying? Like, them boys, Flip and Ja Rule, just didn't have longevity. They just was like,
yeah. And you know,
we
got
to beat up and we got to go sit to the side.
Another good point, too, in that those guys were kind of both jockeying for the same position. Even when you're talking about T.I. and Flip, John 50, it's kind of going for the same position. When you look at Drake and Kendrick, it's two different sides of the hip hop universe. So you got the more the pop kind of guy that, you know, dabbles more into the singing side of things. He's lyricist or whatever. And then you got Kendrick, who, you know, a lot of his music is kind of socially conscious, almost politically motivated in a lot of ways, represents kind of poverty. So he's like more rooted in the original side of hip hop. So they weren't ever fighting for the same position. So I think that's why it was kind of crazy to think that either one would get knocked out of this. They could be declared a winner, but they not jockeying for the same spot. Like the thing is, I think the average Drake fan, not the stands, the average Drake fan is saying, yeah, he lost the battle. He lost the battle. Same way Meek lost the battle when he battled Meek. Meek actually dropped some nice diss record. Never heard him. It got drowned out. It was just the boy had too much momentum on his side. So whatever Meek said at that time, it fell on deaf ears. It didn't matter. Can't nobody name no Meek diss song. Nobody. You ain't gonna find nobody unless they like a Meek stand. So this was a different battle either way. And I knew both of them dudes was gonna come back fine at the end of the day. Like the winner wasn't gonna knock the loser out. But Meezy, what you think?
Those are like, I was sitting here thinking, I think a lot of people said after that ended, the little beef or whatever, when it was going on, that Drake's career was over. When you're dealing with somebody who's like, Drake is like a worldwide artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's selling out shows everywhere worldwide. Kendrick, Kendrick big too, but not in that same perspective. But
niggas ain't in the same stratosphere when it comes to that. Let's just be honest.
Yeah,
like,
they got the same
stratosphere, bro.
That's
just what it is.
I think that's Drake, though.
Drake was too big. Like, Drake was too big for you to say you're gonna kill his career. Like, that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone say, they were just in two different atmospheres, you know what I'm saying? For one, like you say, you know, Kendrick is the original hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? Drake is the new so-called hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? So you got the new fans who, I mean, that's just like with sports, you know what I'm saying? Like, to talk about Jordan, Kobe, LeBron.
I was
like,
just going to mention
everybody's going to say LeBron is better than Jordan, but the original basketball players like Jordan better than... It's gonna be a never ending argument for one, because you just got so many different generations with opinions. You know what I'm saying? So the facts won't even get highlighted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and they both got their share of fans, they support our fans. So it's never gonna get nobody's ever gonna get canceled to that point.
And X, that's a great comparison when you say it like that, because you gotta think about it. A lot of Jordan fans shit on LeBron automatically. We know that. 6-0, he ain't never lost this. LeBron fans don't shit on Jordan. They acknowledge, like, yeah, he did his thing as ever, but
LeBron.
I think the Mike fans got them cranked up, but they do it now for sure. They do. They'll tell you Mike wasn't shit, and in this era he'll be.
He played in the soft.
He played
Kobe fans worse.
Played
against a bunch of players.
Yeah. Kobe fans worse. Kobe fans worse though. Kobe fans, but they shit on LeBron like that motherfucker never existed, bro. Like they just, yeah, they, oh my gosh, they shit on that man so bad. And it's like, but they don't really shit on Jordan. I would say that they don't. Kobe fans don't shit on Jordan because they know that that's who Kobe wanted to be like.
Yeah, that's where he got a lot.
Yeah,
of
I mean that'd be dumb. Yeah. That'd be dumb for them to try Jordan like that. Like nigga, that is who you is. Like you want to be Jordan.
See if you can fix the audio a little bit. It's still cracking on us when you go to
school. Yeah, that's you want to be Jordan, but yeah, it's like two different. It's just a generational break. You know what I'm saying? Like. The new school gonna ride with Drake because that's the type of music they like. You know what I'm saying? They like sitting in the car, bouncing around, dancing. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to sit in the car and really think about, damn, bro, that nigga said, damn, he said some stuff about black pride, and I really should. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to listen to that.
I don't
even want to be. You know what I'm saying? Like they want to be in the car and talk about
Friday night. I ain't trying.
It's a time for that kind of time.
Niggas trying to listen to something. Damn, boy, that girl sexy. Well, I'm finna go knock tonight, boy. I gotta put this on. Hey, she goes. She right.
Hey, you talking to a big Public Enemy fan? Not right now, though. Not right now, Chuck. We'll do that.
No name, for real. We'll do that Monday morning.
Cole, because I love J. Cole, but like, I love J. Cole. But he, listening to his albums, it gets to a point I'm like, all right, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shit damn near.
He gets too boring to me.
It's sounding like the shit getting sad. I'm like, I'm not trying. I just got off work. I ain't trying to think about this shit right now, goddamn it.
You know, it's funny you say that, right? I think the Cole album previous to this last one, what's the one with the flaming like hoop or whatever?
Oh, shit.
What is that one? I'll look it up real quick. Whatever that album's called, that ironically compares very strongly to me to Iceman. Because a lot of people will say, well, Iceman, man, or with Drake, they'd be like, I just want him to rap. I just want a rap album, which he never really done. He's always blended the raps with the melodies. That's kind of always been the formula. But when he did Iceman, this was like a 92% just rap album. Like, he really went and did it. So it's funny when I listened to the Offseason, that was the J. Cole joint from 2021 with the Flaming Gold. I used to always say about Cole, I want to get the Cole with the bars and metaphor. I felt like he got away from that a little bit and started doing like the songs about when he lost his virginity. I'm like, bro, come on, my nigga. Like, that's cool. We can relate. Everybody kind of relates a little bit. But he kind of got away from just being like, and he even said it himself on that album, sometimes you got to show niggas. Like, I really, when I get in that bag, I will bar the shit out of y'all. It's nothing I can't do. It's just the path I chose not to go down. So I thought interesting with the Iceman album was he finally gave us, and I think it was super strategic, he finally just gave us one solid just rap album, just bars on top of bars on top of bars. And that's just what I'm going to do with this album. And then, you know, he split the other ones up. Because what you would typically get from Drake is all three of those albums in one. He's gonna do the bars for the hip hop heads who just want to hear him rap, but he's gonna do the crooning, singing, hey, you know, for the ladies, good for like the, you know, the evenings or whatever. And then, you know, he stretched it a little bit, but even still, that the club, the joints that's made for going off in the club. So with the Iceman one though, man, I mean personally. This is one of my favorite Drake albums early on, just from, you say you listen to it three times, D-Rock. I probably listen to about seven.
Yeah, I listen to it. I
give it a lot of spins, yeah.
I'm like around six, seven,
yeah. Yeah, front to back. And I just, it's songs I don't love as much as others, but it ain't nothing.
You ain't got to skip it, though.
Yeah, I don't hate nothing on there. Like, Wes, Like Scorpion is funny. People bigging up Scorpion, and I'm like, that shit had Ratchet Happy Birthday on them. Like, what the fuck are we like? That album is so much trash and so much filler to me. That is crazy that people try to act like that album was that good. To me, I'm like, nah, that album got a lot of experimental stuff that I just didn't, I ain't connect with. But yeah, like, oh yeah, you didn't really quite finish your thoughts though, Measy. Like, just what you think in general of the album.
I like the album a lot. I really like the production on it.
Yeah.
I love the production, like the Janis Shut the Fuck Up song. Like, I love the wordplay and everything, but I love that song damn near because of the beat. But I love I like how he got back to, because Drake used to always do this on his previous albums too. The, like, the, it's not an interlude, but when a song changes.
Beat switch.
Yeah, the beat switches.
The beat switch, yeah, yeah. He did that on probably four or five of those joints.
Four or five songs, especially maybe the more. Intro, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
everybody who fuck with Drake know, like, the intro good. If it's a solid Drake intro, then the album gonna go. You know what I'm saying?
And as to me, his best intro. I'm willing to stand on.
Yeah, that. I told you.
I think that's his best intro, dog.
Yeah, the Nothing Was the Same. Tuscan Leather was. I love that.
Tuscan Leather up there. That's probably my number two.
I love that intro. I like the intro for. It wasn't necessarily an intro, but it was the first song. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I love the album. There was a little run he had too on that album. It was like, I think in the middle of it, like five straight songs was just straight gas. Like I was in the car listening to it, and I was like, man, what the fuck? I'm like, this the fourth straight.
Just banger.
Yeah. Because the song before that with him and 21 was hard.
Beezing on the table, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like that how they blended. He did a good job. Blend, because I thought that was one the same song at first.
Thought it was the same song at first, and then I went to go look. I'm like, it's a different song.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make them, he had to went from the shebang to make them pay burning bridges, National Treasure, and Bees on the Table. I'm like, shit, man.
He went crazy, bro.
Yeah, he went crazy.
You know, one of the reasons I truly enjoyed this album a lot too is one of the reasons that I always tell Lupe is in my top. Five is Lupe is one of the few rappers that could sneak bars by me. Where I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that. Oh, that was clever. I didn't see that one. I think he really, especially with the disses, man, he got in his bag and he got some disses past me. I was like, holy shit.
Which one?
Nerves. Just in general, just throughout the album. Like, you know, one of my coworkers, he was like, I don't know, it wasn't that bar heavy. I said, bro. And this is going to show you like a lot of average fans. I said, did you get that Aiden Ross, you know, reference there? And he's like, yeah, I knew who Aiden Ross is. I said, yeah, but did you get the Aiden Ross this? And he's like, what you mean? I said, brother, he said, I was Aiden Ross with streams.
Before Aiden
Ross was ever making streams. Like, yikes. And you know what I was talking about? I had to break it down. So I said, Aiden Ross. Ross didn't have no number one hits without Drake. He didn't have none.
Oh,
of that
shit, nigga. That. I just.
You didn't catch that one either? I was aiding Ross.
Yeah, I caught that's that. What I'm once Larry said that, I caught that.
That's what he did on
this. Yeah, he had a lot of subliminals on
that. Man, he tore DeMar DeRozan apart. I was like, bro, that's crazy. We live in a day and age where a basketball player can get dissed by a rapper. Like, he really took the time to, like, man, he chewed him up, spit him out, man. DeMar got to figure get somebody to ghostwrite him and shoot back because he made DeMar look real bad.
Yeah. And he's going to have something with, like, a beat on it, too.
Yeah, he need to get hollered on, I don't know if Dame would do it, Dame Lillard. Lillard got a nasty pen. He is the best rapper.
Sports rapper ever.
Yeah. They ain't go crazy. I ain't gonna hold you, man. They ain't go crazy when you get down to writing. But yeah, I just thought this, you know, for those that was like, I need that just all rap Drake album, this was it. The bars are there, like you just seen right there, live in live action. Music missed that one. It's a lot I missed. It's a lot more that I've seen other people break down. I was like,
yeah, they got like some videos.
The goalie.
they got some reels on Instagram about that, like breaking down. And I was like, damn, this shit's 2 minutes long.
Layered, man. It's layered, dog. But anyway, shout out to him. The album looked like it's going to do some numbers. They're saying it's probably going to clear about 500. Is the projection
right 500 now, first so. Week? Yeah,
500 first week, which is better than GNX. Y'all say y'all love them, and I'm a look. Let me clear this up too before we move on. I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. I've been a Kendrick Lamar fan for quite some time. I tell people he's got classics, To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City. Yeah, Good Kid, Mad City. Section 80 is very close to me to being a classic. It might be 4.5 mics.
Yeah, I gotta give you that one. That's my joint right there.
Man. That's up there for me. It's very, very close, if not a classic. But I haven't liked the last couple of projects, so I'm just keeping it a bean. I thought GNX was him out of pocket. I think ironically, GNX was him doing what they accused Drake of all the time, like trying to steal other people's styles and sounds. Like he was doing what the young Cali cast is out there doing. I was like, this ain't a Kendrick sound, bro. This is you stealing their kind of sound, and I paying homage, right? Same thing. It just depends on if you like the dude or not. And please don't get me started on Mr. Morale and the Red Hot Chili Peppers or whatever that album was. That shit, bro. Y'all can talk. You could bar me duff, talk me duff. That shit was great art, terrible music. That's just how I see that album. Great art, terrible music. I thought he painted an awesome picture with a lot of that album, but it just didn't sound very good. But anyway, I think for the hip hop heads, we got that out of Iceman, the album that if you just wanted to hear bars and rapping, he did that. I kind of refute the whole whining. I was like, yeah, why? He just shot back. And that's the thing too, man. He's a Scorpio. Scorpio is known for holding the grudge. That shit up forever. Him and LeBron, they never gonna be cool again. LeBron hurt his feelings bad, so he's never gonna be he's gonna be on his neck for the rest of his career, man.
Hey, I don't know if you thought it, but Aiden Ross said that it was some people that DM'd him and congratulated him. It's like LeBron was one of them. It was like two or three other people said, Aiden Ross came by and said that Drake had hit him up and said it was a few people that congratulated him on the album. That was weird. But that's also, I tried to get this in before. I think y'all might not be a fan of it, but I think Little Birdie would have been dope if Kodak was on it.
If Kodak was on it, bro.
I see everybody was tweeting that. Like they said, Kodak.
He was on Kodak. That shit was. It was fire. It's a fire track. I like that track. But people act like. He slipping one past the goalie. Like, we know what flow that is. I consider it more paying homage. Nobody thought, oh, wow, Drake just came up. So, no, he sounded like Yak.
I've seen some people say he was stealing, but I'm like, I think that was like a homage. Because even
the same way, it's too hard for radio.
At the end of the song, he had the fast 954 music. Thing.
Yeah.
This is a shout out to Kodak down there, Broward.
Yeah,
I was like, this shit was for Florida right here, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, no doubt.
Damn, right, I guess I'm deaf in y'all because I was listening to AZ do a tattoo album.
Do a tattoo? Is it good?
Yeah, bro?
Is it good?
You know, so you a real original hip hop fan. The first AZ album, he was so lyrically ahead of his time. So when I'm listening to this one, I'm like, man, it kind of sounds like he's doing the same exact theme from the first album. You know what I'm saying? Like he's another one that with Nas, like I think they just have some horrible beat selection. They just ain't got it in their ear. Them niggas
ain't got the lyrics.
They got the lyrics. They can rap, but them niggas got some horrible beat selection. Like they need, I always said this, I was like, man, if Ross could pick the beats for Nas. Nas will have a beat album.
Yeah.
But I get it. He like what he like, man. And you know what I'm saying? DJ Premier and all them. But yeah, man. He been in the game 20+ years, man. Sometimes you just gotta say, all right, come on, let me get some executive producers on this album. But No, it is what it is. Like I say, AZ is he rapping. He rapping, but you know, like
Steve
I said,
Styles said he don't want to rap. He said that was the problem with AZ. He's like, that's why AZ couldn't be the star that he should have been. He was like, he don't want to rap like all the time, like really just go and get in the studio and just work and work and work.
But like, that, remember, Dr. Dre said that when they were doing the Firm album, he was like, man, we'd be in the studio. Nas would go in there, Foxy would go in there, then AZ just be like, man, he's chilling. Like, well, damn, we can't work. Like,
yeah, yeah. I need you to rap for a rap album. But anyway, all right, man, let's toss some ball.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talks. You got Larry. We back, man. Little eventful week. We had some misses, some hits. You know, a flip came out of that. Some disappointment. A lot of zestiness, and a lot of it wasn't from who y'all think it was. A lot of the fan base. I'm not gonna lie. I'll be honest with you. Y'all kind of disappoint me a little bit with, you know, the way you handle rejection. Man. Y'all got rejection a little better than that, man. Y'all boy, I can tell y'all boy they never try to holler at no girl.
Never.
You got to handle rejection a little better than that, man. I ain't gonna hold you. Y'all dragged it a little bit too long for me, but so we'll get into that situation. We got a couple of commits that did join us. And we'll get into just thoughts on the 2014 playoff, and you know just how people feel about that in general. We'll get everybody's collective thoughts on that. But we're gonna kick it off, man. With me as usual, my main man with a game plan, Turnpike Music. Please say the Turnpike. Say what's up, man.
Please say the Turnpike, man. What's good? What's good? 26 degrees, man. Another episode. We got the boy, Real Field General X in the building, man. What it do?
What's up? What's up? What's up? We back. You back with 26 degrees, the number one Canes talk. I'm throwing shots now. I'm throwing shots at everybody out there.
ain't no subliminal with that.
I'm throwing shots to you, to all you characters. The number one Canes talks. 26 degrees. Make sure y'all stay tuned.
Yeah, nobody's seeing us in this arena. I'll say that. Nobody do what we do. Shout out to everybody doing what they do, but don't nobody do what we do, man. You know, I appreciate y'all, for real. I do. Real talk. But I appreciate what we do as well. And then we got the chef in the building, D-Rob. D-Rob, say what's happening.
Hey, what's happening? What's up, man? Get ready to get another good episode. You know what I'm saying? Got a lot to cover. Well, quite a bit to cover, and now I'm excited, man. Excited.
All right, so okay. We've been doing this little game recently. Where D-Rob does a keep three, cut five. So, for the fun of it, man, we're gonna kick it off with that. All right, we have no idea. I don't even know what position group we're doing today. So, D-Rob, lay it on us, man. What we got?
All right. So this week on this edition, Keep Three Cut Five Hurricanes Edition, we're doing cornerback, right? Mm-hmm. And with this one, I didn't take no names off because I think I don't think there's really a GOAT. We got a lot of good, like a lot of good to great players, but there's not a GOAT. There's not like a Ed Reed of cornerbacks, you know what I'm saying, or anything like that. So first cornerback on the board, right?
Hold on. How far are you going back, though?
80s. We're going to the 80s.
Rings and beyond.
see? And now, if I miss a name or two, I mean, I just go back to what I was looking for. And, like, I looked up stats and stuff like that. And these are the ones that I kind of came up with, I think, that kind of stand out. All right? So, number one, Entrelle.
You cut two and keep three, right?
No, you keep three and you cut five.
Keep three, cut five. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. What's first?
All right. So we're gonna First one is Aren't Your Role.
That's a key for me.
Yeah, intro. I got a key.
Okay. X.
Damn. Boy. You talking about 80s. Now I'm like, well, they had some, we had some lockdowns in the 80s, man. I'm gonna keep rolling.
Okay, you're gonna keep on trail? Okay. Yeah, I'm keeping. Yeah, like I say, it's a mixture. So Michael Jackson.
I'm gonna cut.
Hold on. You ain't give us yours, D Rock.
Oh, on trail roll. I'm keeping on trail roll also.
All right, keep it.
Yes.
Roll. You say you cut in Mike Jack?
Yeah, I'm cutting Mike Jack.
I'm gonna cut Mike Jack as well.
He was solid for us though, bro.
He's still in the league. He getting cut.
Yep.
He getting cut. He just don't add up into the names that I'm thinking.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah. All right. I think this next one you're gonna like. Hey, Dwayne Starks.
What you got, man?
I cut Mike Jack too. I cut him too.
All right, next one.
Dwayne Starks.
That boy was a dog.
I'm keeping it.
Yeah, I like Starks, man.
I'm keeping it. There's only one other corner I think that was better than Starks, and you ain't calling him yet, but I'm keeping Starks.
That's kind of where I'm at mentally. I'm gonna save one. I'm gonna cut Starks.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna cut him too. I ain't trying to go out first three names.
All right, I'm keeping Dwayne Starks. So I got him.
Right.
Next one. Phillip Buchanan.
That's my guy.
God damn it.
I'm taking Phil.
Phil, my guy. I gotta keep Phil.
Yeah, I'm taking Phil, Phil, man. He might juice a punt return for you too.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Damn. Phillip, man, that's my dude. But I gotta cut him.
Alright. Mike Rump.
I cut
Buchanan too. So Mike Rump,
cutting Rump, man. Rump still hurt me from that Penn State game, man. When man beat him, I can't forgive him for that.
I'm gonna cut Rump, but it's really more about his 49ers career. It was a little underwhelming. He wasn't bad. It was underwhelming because you know I'm super geek because he's a Kane and he you know came 49ers. So I'm gonna cut him. Not that he was trash. He just little
okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut him.
You cutting Rump too?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut Rump.
Yeah, I'm cutting Rump too. I'm cutting Rump too.
Okay.
Next, Artie Burns.
I'm cutting Burns.
I'm cutting Artie. Artie went first round, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. He went
first round.
Artie was fast, man.
Yeah.
Artie was
That's
fast.
Yeah. Artie had the wheels.
He was gifted.
Yeah, him and DVD, they both had the wheels, so I know that helped them out a lot. I'm gonna cut Artie as well.
Okay, I cut him also. Brandon Harris.
Cut him.
I'm gonna cut Brandon. I like Brandon. His last year was really good.
One name left.
So if I don't take Brandon, I got to keep this next guy.
Man, you got one name left. You ain't even, all right, damn.
All right. yeah, I'm going to risk it too. I like Brandon Harris a lot. I'm going to cut him though.
And I cut him. Now, this last name is the one I kept. Ryan McNeil.
I'm keeping it.
Yeah,
I'm keeping McNeil.
That's I'm how I was waiting on too. McNeil was one of the ones I thought.
I was waiting on him. I'm like, well, you gotta if Brad McNeil's name ain't up there, then I don't know what's going on. You gotta keep McNeil.
Yeah.
So everybody kept McNeil. So he's the unanimous.
So was there a name that I left out?
I think that was actually pretty
good. I thought you was gonna name Tracy Howard.
There's a couple guys I didn't name.
I thought you'd say like Kelly Jennings.
So the crazy part is
Kelly Jennings.
I had Kelly Jennings on here, but like I said, I looked up the stats and these guys were so I could have took out I could have took out Mike Jack and put, I could have took Artie Burns and put Kelly Jennings, because I think Kelly Jennings did have a better career than he did. So that's the one I thought I left on here. When I looked at the list, I was like, oh, shoot, I had took his name off by accident. So, yeah, Kelly, I know I left Kelly Jennings off. He was one of them ones, too.
Yeah, that's not a bad list. Because like you say, I mean, when it comes to corners, it ain't, you know, we all pick McNeil, but, like, other than that, I don't know if we got, like, that goated. We can fuss with any fan base. It don't matter.
X-Roll is probably the goated one. I give him that.
Right.
He's the one that everybody
is. And a lot of that's because he had a good NFL career, too, to follow it up.
Yeah,
so
And then this is who he played with. Like, this is who he played with. Like, they said, well, he played with Sean Taylor. So it's like, he goes.
And think it. Don't forget, he might have been the only cornerback in college football that shut Larry Fitzgerald down. Nobody else has done that. I think he held Larry to like 3 catches for 20 yards. I think he had like 100 yard games that season. Like it was like crazy how good Fitzgerald was that year. And Entrell shut him down.
Yeah, Fitz one of the ones, man. Highly underrated. Even though he gets a lot of respect for football, Fitz is something different.
Yeah, he's still not talked about like he should be. Like he should be talking about.
The same way
they talk about T.O. and Randy, right. They got to talk about Larry because Larry
was like, you got to put Larry in that conversation, man. Larry was a complete dog.
Yeah, so the consensus, me and X, we both had Entrell, Dwayne Starks, and Ron McNeil, and Larion and Meezy had Entrell, Phillip Buchanan, and McNeil. So it seems like we can agree that probably Entrell and McNeil are probably the best cornerbacks in Miami Hurricanes history.
Yeah, and then the rest of it get a little bit, I like my list. I like my list. I think I put a good one together. I ain't mad at it at all.
Entrell had a real long football career, too.
Yeah.
I think all of us had an excellent list. Like, you can't go wrong with either. You know what I'm saying? And you're looking at it like, we got me and Rob got Starks outside, Ryan Manil outside, then you got Rogue can move on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The same with y'all. You got Rogue can move on the inside. You got McNeil.
Phillip. And you got Phillip.
You know what I'm saying? So Phillip could be on the outside or Phillip could play on the inside. So
And like you said, Phillip can give you that return game too. So that's another part of the game. But, that was cool, man. That was fun. That was one I didn't know. I knew corner was, like, not as, you know, like I said, you got some
heritage. Yeah, it's not as heritage as the other positions we had. You know, that's the one position.
I'm trying to flip it, man.
That's the one position I could give credit to the other, I ain't going to call their name, but the other schools they got. It's
other schools, yeah.
Yeah.
Other schools like LSU, other schools like Ohio State.
we're not calling the other schools.
Those other guys. I give them that. Let's get into it. So we had a big week. That Friday just passed us by, the 15th. You had an opportunity to pick up a couple of 5-star players, and it ain't go that way. And, you know, it's funny. I came to the chat, and I was saying that the Drake album dropped, and we was talking about that for a while. And I was like, all right, look, let's bring back the football for a minute. We're going to go 0-2 or 2-0, and we end up going 0-2. So the first decision, which, I mean, for the most part, I think that was the temperature on the show, with the interior defensive lineman, David Folarushno or whatever. It really don't matter now since he ain't coming to us. So
we ain't gotta say that.
I ain't gotta worry about trying to figure that name out no more. At least for now. You know, we flipped Justin Scott too, so you never know. But I'm pretty certain out there that he's gonna stay firm in Notre Dame. X called it out, and he's kind of completely surrounded by too many Notre Dame people.
Yeah, he got a whole circle. Like, it ain't even a slight space where you can say, okay, they fans of everybody else.
He plays for the Irish right now.
Yeah, he plays for a school that has an Irish logo. The man, Pastor.
Yeah, I said that last week.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that one, you know, it was the, I mean, it's the more impactful position, I think, in this particular cycle. I won't say it like Starmore, because we kind of knew that was happening. Like, it was a hope he might go against the grain and be that outsider. You know, the fact that we had going for us was City Kid, his parents, I think his mom is like cool with Lightfoot mom or Jesse Scott mom, or maybe both of them, you know, so it's an opportunity for that connection to play in our hands. But, you know, ultimately he went with staying a little closer to home and, you know, going with the influence of all the people around him. That one to me is more impactful because I think it gets maybe a little murky after that at defensive tackle on where we pivot this particular cycle, on that guy, because also Xavier Muhammad decided to commit to Michigan. What is kind of a surprise commit too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was surprising. That was surprising.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he set a date. It just came.
No, it just came out nowhere.
He just popped. Yeah. He just popped.
And so that put us in a hole because I think we would have turned up the pressure on Muhammad. Although I think the pressure was there, but if we knew we was out on him, I think the pressure turns up to a different degree with Xavier Muhammad. So
yeah, I mean it was a whiff because Miami did give effort to get him. They wanted him. He the big kid, 6'4", about 290. You know, that's somebody you would want to be in the middle of your defense. Now Miami got to pivot to go and not get plan Bs, but you know what I'm saying? Just put the emphasis and the effort into the right guys now. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell fans this all the time. Like, don't just think, you know what I'm saying, we going to get every kid. You know what I'm saying? And then when we don't make it seem like, oh, we not doing good recruiting. It's a broad thing right now across the nation. Everybody, for one, a lot of teams got money to spend. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of kids aren't just making development decisions. A lot of kids are saying, man, I could go and play right now.
Yeah.
Or I could go and get this money right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we got to stop looking at it as, yeah, boy, Miami, yeah, you know, the freshman's going to play, da, da, da. Man, shoot. What if I could go start right now for this team? And they finna give me $1 million.
Right. It's a decent bag.
It's hard to say no to that for an 18-year-old. Right. 17.
When you get a decent bag and opportunity to get on that.
As a parent. Right. It's hard as a parent to say no.
Good point. And you know, and that's what I like about NIL is I said it on the timeline, I'll kind of repeat it here. It's gonna make coaches coach. And it's gonna make staffs evaluate, because you're not going to get all of the top dogs, right? So you're going to work, you know, the top guys. Like, we was able to flip 5-star cornerback out of Cali, right? Awesome. Great flip at a position of need in this particular cycle. But you're just not going to get them all, because the playing field is going to be a lot more leveled out. It's going to be a lot more parity. So you're going to have to deal with the competition of the money and you know, whatever your school looks like to these kids, right? So it can't just be money. It's got to be money and, you know, for most of these kids, it's got to be some money and an opportunity to win, opportunity to go to the next level. And then, like I said, and then the second half is evaluation. This is where you're going to really have to dig, get into your scouting bag, and really find that 3-star that's highly underrated or that is going to blossom in your system. More so than he may not be an NFL guy, may not be. Who's to say? Not everybody's going to be, obviously. But it's going to make you get in your bag and really work. Versus when you had it so slanted to where a Georgia and an Alabama in recent years, they just stockpile all the talent, and then they just let them work it out amongst themselves. Like, hey, we'll just get all the top guys, and if they're really good, they're gonna, you know, they'll stay here, they'll compete, they'll fight it out. If they're not, they're going to get squeezed out the door, and we can live with that. That's fine, because we still got a plethora of talent. Now you're going to have to really make sure, because you ain't going to just be able to load it up like that. You have to make sure you you go catch those guys that end up being first round. I mean, the first round in the NFL every year got three stars in it. Every year.
Uh-huh.
Not new. And what happens to those guys every time? They slip through the cracks for whatever reason. Maybe a little small, maybe maybe a little bit slower to develop, maybe didn't camp as much, whatever the case may be. But every year, you're going to have not just one or two. You're going to have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 or 7 three-star guys going the first round. That's when the real homework got to be done. So I think that's the position we are in now with defensive tackle, because I don't know if there's a lot of other premier guys to go pivot to at this point in recruiting. You know, of course, Mario will keep recruiting, but I don't know if it's another like a
– Yeah, I was about to say, it's not that many of that's uncommitted, but – You know, Mario plays the flip game better than anybody. So I'm not counting out Nan, D tackle that's committed to a top program right now. You know, the number one, Jalen Brewster, he's still in play. You know what I'm saying? And I think you get one, you know what I'm saying, and then you can just, you know what I'm saying, load up with some other ones who you think you can develop. You know what I'm saying? So guys, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's how you got to build it. I don't think most programs, I guess depending on the cycle, I don't think most programs can afford two premier tackles in one cycle. I just don't know if you got the money for it.
You ain't got the money for it. Then this year, I think.
A lot of other positions.
What's that, $4 million right mean. There?
You say what?
What's that, like almost $4 million for two of them?
What you mean? Yeah.
We kind of lucked up. Remember, we got Sampson and we got Francis in the same class.
No, I was saying $4 million. I was saying $4 million.
Oh, D tech. Oh, I'm telling you.
$2 million apiece.
Oh, you said $4 million. Oh, I thought you said $4 million. Say, well,
nah, $2 million apiece. That's $4 million. Yeah. Right,
so the going rate for a top flight D tackle, you a top five guy, is probably like 1.5, right?
Okay.
Yeah, Brewster
you
get?
You get your elevators. You get your elevators. I mean, next year.
Brewster probably he getting like almost. Two. Brewster might be getting like almost.
He going because you got to think about it, right? Because Texas Tech, we know that they kicking out whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then SMU kind of has been like sniffing around and got them on for a visit and all that. We know they got oil money too. So you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. Well, and I ain't even finna mention the other school because they broke. Their coach said they broke, so I ain't even worried about them. So yeah, I've never seen a class with two elite defensive tackles. You know what I'm saying? Like 2 5-star. I have not seen that. Well, not in this NIL era.
Texas A&M.
And I'm talking about in the NIL era.
Have we seen that in NIL? Yeah, they just had the number one class in history. The number one with about 15 5-stars on it.
Oh yeah, with Jimbo.
Remember?
Yeah, but
with Shamar Stewart and all those guys.
No, that
okay.
NIL
was out since Derrick King. Like, the NIL been for 2 years.
Yeah, because Derrick King was what 2020?
Oh yeah, you're right.
2021, right. I think 2021.
2021, yeah, I think it was 2021. No, yeah,
but that
it was
that,
2020 that, because that was COVID year. I think COVID year was the very first year, wasn't it?
Man, I felt like NIL wasn't out yet, bro, when A&M signed that class.
No, it was out. It was definitely out because Shamar Stewart went there for NIL. Like he didn't not go to Texas A&M.
Just and that was Mario first year. Matter of fact, that was Mario first year, so that had to be 2022.
His first year. NIL was definitely out. They signed almost like 10 5-stars. They had the top D line, like they had the number one rated class in the history of recruiting.
Yeah, I remember that. They had like 3 5-star DBs, like Denver Kirkland on board.
Yeah, they had 5-stars all over. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they did it. They did it.
They did recruit it. That's facts. X is a name we should look out for? Yeah, at D-tackle in particular, you think that they might kind of try to turn it up a little bit on?
Oh, that boy from Texas, ain't it?
Which one?
The he had visited TCU this past weekend or SMU.
It's like One name is some kid starts with a Y. I think his last name is Zion.
Zion,
he's starting to pick up.
Yeah,
he's starting to pick up a whole lot of traction around recruiting. Is Yazin Zion? Yazin Zion.
Okay, yeah,
he's picking up a whole lot of attraction. Who else? The Parks kid. The Parks, is it Brandon Parks?
Yeah, from Illinois.
Brandon Parks for Illinois. Illinois
yeah, yeah. I remember we were in on him as well.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about DeMarco Jenkins.
Oh, no. I haven't really heard much about him.
Okay. Just curious. I mean, I trust him to get it done. I ain't really too worried. You know, and then the other situation that didn't quite go the way, you know, we as a fan base wanted. I think, I don't know, me and X left thinking we might get it done. I thought Miami might get it done. I thought they might have got it done. But didn't turn out that way. For whatever reason. You know, it's funny because some people say money. But again, last I heard, Miami actually offered a bigger bag. But ultimately, he decided, for whatever reasons. I did see something where we're talking about Mark Matthews, obviously. He said... or it was reported, and I ain't gonna say he said it was reported that he was like visiting LSU, and you know, it was, you know, basically, you know, hyping up the SEC and the stadiums and the type of games he'll get to play in, and he kind of bought in on that, but ironically, it didn't play in their favor as much. He was like, "You're right, I do want to play in the SEC, but I'm gonna go do it for Texas A&M instead of LSU." So, yeah, ultimately, that's what he made his decision was to go. Play his football out there. I don't know, because he plays right tackle now. So I don't know if that was the factor that some people kind of try to play in, that he might want to be left. You know, I don't know how much that matters, because our right tackle went, what, number 10? And CeCe Malinoa, and then, you know, probably considered one of the best tackles in the game, not the best tackle in the game, Penei Sewell. He's a right tackle, and he definitely was top 10. Might have been, what, 5 or 6? I can't quite remember. So I don't know. I don't know if those were the factors at all. But he did ultimately decide to go to Texas A&M. So what you think on that one, X? I know we were hoping and wishing, but he decided to go that route.
Yeah, he picked Texas A&M. He felt like their organization had more stability, the SEC was a factor into him playing. And, you know, I guess, you know, he wanted to be different, you know, from my conversation with him, just be different. Because, you know, the family was all locked in for him going to Miami, and he just wanted to be different. And, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of the kids down here, they be wanting to get up out of here. Because South Florida could be overwhelming for a lot of them. You know, so it's cool.
Yeah, home never looked the same when it's your home, right? Like, yeah. People vacation there, right? But you live there. So the appeal that a lot of other people see, you don't really get it a lot of time because you grew up in it. So you like,
yeah, you like, man, this ain't, yeah, what y'all talking about?
It's every day. This is not that weird to me. So if you don't live a place where people vacation, it'd be hard for you to understand how somebody could leave there. And it's like, because it's home. I've been here my entire life. And I can probably always come back if I want to at any point. So, you know, that's probably a factor in it as well. When he committed, he went, you know, I thought a little over the top. Energy was a little bit wild.
Yeah, I ain't like that. I text immediately, like, damn, man. He's like, that was too much. Like,
I was on Twitter. You even had, like, Florida fans being like, man, what the hell was that I just saw? When he jumped on that table and put that cowboy hat on, I said, boy, what the fuck?
he texted me back laughing out loud. I was like, yeah, man, I said, what was that? That's a little over the
top. Barbecue's great, man. He a kid, man. And that's why I was talking about, you know, in the intro, like, I get it, and we all have our opinions, and But it do bother me when we dealing with other grown men, you know, in my age bracket. I'm like, man, I'm 45. Y'all what? 30 to 45 range. Like, bro, we're a little too old.
I'm 43. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I'm talking about just the people on Twitter, the other fans and whatnot. I'm like, y'all, we a little bit too old for the name calling, picking that, trolling a 17 or 18 year old kid just because he didn't pick the school that you wanted him to go to. I can't back that. It's just I just say it's a poor way to handle it. What's your 2 cents on that one, D-Rob?
Oh man, same thing, man. Like I can't stand fans, bro. Like if you'd have came to us, like they wouldn't have been doing all that. The rival fans probably would have been kind of like doing that, but it's like looking at it, did I want him? Yeah. Did we need him? Probably not. Would it been a culture fit? I don't know. I don't know. It seems like College Station might be the best, you know what I'm saying, for the time he wants to have. That's what it seems like to me. I feel like you want to go put on some tight jeans and some boots and a cowboy's hat and do that. So
I said that boy trying to get the fuck up out of town with that shit.
Yeah. And that's the honest to God truth about it. I would never went out and been like, let me crack jokes on him or you know, do that type of deal. But I ain't gonna hold you. When he did the commitment, I went, yeah, it's probably best he goes somewhere else. And I didn't, and like, that just was my honest. And people did pull it up and bring it up, right? You saw Jackson Cantwell the year before. A lot more just business. Hey, this is what it is. Going to my boom, repping to you. I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, that was that. Interview. That extra energy, I can't say that I've seen that from anybody that's been within the program under Mario Cristobal, committing or not. And so I did really think, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to fit in this locker room. And I don't say that just because he didn't pick us. I just thought that might be, you know, or it could change. You know, you can adapt to the culture that's around. But maybe that's the culture they got out there. And I do like Elko.
Yeah.
I think Elko's a good coach. And I think he's going to do much more and way better than Jimbo did. I think he'll take advantage of this opportunity a lot more than Jimbo Fisher did with his opportunity out there. So, you know, and they did have, I believe, 4 offensive linemen drafted. So they ain't no slouches by any means. I mean, we did beat them up on the field. But, you know, like I tell people all the time, these kids believe in themselves. So whoop up on them, they're going to be like, oh, that would have been me.
The one thing I just didn't get is like, oh, Elko error. Like that shit supposed to mean like them boys ain't won nothing. They haven't even been to their SEC championship game. They've never won a championship in life.
But that's what they should.
But that's
the job on them. Shout out.
Yeah, Cooney. Yeah, you're right. Shout out Pop Cooney. But I mean that relationship took it over. That relationship took it over the top. You know what I'm saying? Like having Cooney there, that took it over the top. But and like I said, they're gonna get more. But my thing is when that shit crash and burn, well, gonna be Jimbo 2.0.
I think he's gonna burn it. We'll see. It may, but I don't know.
And the reason why will. Yeah, because I mean, I see it as like because Texas is spending whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's and then like I'm trying to pull up their schedule real quick and see what it looked like because last year they didn't play like the top 8 teams in that finished in like in the conference. They played all of the bottom like the bottom of the barrel teams in their conference. So that's how it was. But this year, looking at their schedule. So they got Arizona State coming to them. They got Kentucky. They got to go to LSU. They got Arkansas. They got to go to Missouri. They got to go to Alabama. They got to go to South Carolina. They got Tennessee. They got to go to Oklahoma. And then they got Texas. I can see 3 to 4 losses. I can see 3 to 4 losses. Because I can see Texas beating them. I can see Oklahoma beating them. Tennessee, South Carolina, like where I can see them going to Bama and I can see them losing at Alabama. LSU, I'm not saying they will, but I could see them losing to LSU. So that's like four losses right there. And, you know what I'm saying?
See, the key is what job did they do in recruiting him so that losses don't hit the same. Like, we did a good job recruiting, say, a Bane and a Miami Noah, right? It was some ugly losses. So it'll be about what job did they do to sell him on the program so that if there is some hiccups, I agree with you. It could be an issue because it was good, right? So when the year came in, they had a great year. Even losing to us, it was a close loss. I mean, of course, they had the home field advantage, but, you know, we did what we did in that particular situation. You know, but they still had a good overall season. I agree with you. Schedule wasn't that tough, but they got it done. And that looks good on paper regardless. So we'll see how it ends up ultimately panning out. X, can you hear us now? All right, you can hear us. So, yeah, he made his move, man. We'll see how much more. That's a good question, X. How much more effort you think they pour into Mark Matthews? Do you think they may just kind of let him kind of go about his way?
Nah, they going to cool him till he leaves.
to the last
till
day.
He step foot on the plane and go. They still cool him.
You sure? And that's what I did. That was the other thing, and I'm going to wrap on this. I didn't like people saying wasted time, wasted effort. I'm like, you're right there. What the hell are you talking about? How can you not recruit this kid?
Number one offensive tackle in the nation. What you mean?
He in your backyard. What a waste of time. We can't be wasting time. Huh? You didn't waste no time, number one. So that's where y'all take the wee thing too far. You didn't invest. Maybe you saw him at the grocery store and say, hey, man, go to Miami. Maybe you did that.
What is wasted time when he's literally 30, 45 minutes away from campus? That's not wasted time. That's going to the doctor appointment.
That hurt feeling. That's all it is. That's why I'm like, shut up. You sound so dumb right now talking about wasting time. Not wasting time. You can't waste time. And you have to consider there's other players, 28 players, 29 players, 30 players that you're going to see while you're there too. And it's right in your backyard.
Hey, listen, I've seen a lot of the comments on social media about be zesty. Man, we had one of the best offensive tackles in the nation, and that man's zesty, Brian McKenzie. So don't give me that zesty stuff. Like, facts. Nigga, can he protect my quarterback?
Right.
If he's zesty enough to protect my quarterback, I want it.
Yo, so funny.
I never knew that.
If you ever get around enough, like, you'll be like,
Man, listen, you.
I know what's gonna say
it's crazy because you know, like you say, you get around him and you be like, man, damn, that's a big dude, and then you start seeing how he act and move. You like, oh my god, what's going on?
I thought McKinney was married with kids, man.
But the thing is, he don't. I'm not gonna say he's openly, but he don't put it out like he's that. But if you be around him long enough, you will see things like, damn, okay, that kind of off. You know what I'm saying? For a nigga that's 6'8", you know, but
big old nigga.
Yeah, boy, he's a big nigga, and that's the funny thing, because they ain't no straight nigga finna go check him about it. Like,
nah, you
gotta
just be like, shit, salute.
Yeah, salute, man.
Oh, man. All right.
It's crazy. That's crazy, bro. Because I could have swore that man was married, bro. Well, he had kids.
You seen him around a lot of baddies, but
that's the issue right there. Yeah, that's you know the issue. Is he keeping bad ones around. I'm talking about he keep them.
Always.
Listen, I got some story I can't even tell y'all.
Yeah,
I can't even say it, man. But boy, you be like, dang, be mad. What's happening?
You got him around, baby.
Man, so. Go ahead, Ma. My bad. Go ahead.
To the resources thing really quick. It's not waste of resources. The kid, I can understand if this kid was from Houston or from like Dallas somewhere and we ignoring local kids and we going after him and he choose Texas A&M.
Right. Because
And it's May. How you waste time and it's May? We got a whole season.
I mean, that's Lamar Brown, right? Last cycle, right? Mm-hmm. He was, you know, chance for what he was going to stay. Did they give him something to think about? For sure. So did they waste it? I mean, again, what did you let get slip through the back door in the meantime? I think it's very possible. I think fans get this mixed up. You could do both, especially if you had the resources as far as like the financial resources. You could recruit. Number one, your backyard is very easy. You don't have to worry about no jets or nothing. You just drive on down the road. Hey, we're going to make a road trip down here and go holler at this kid. And you can go over to Baton Rouge and see about a kid that was showing interest, was interested. Was you probably going to get him? No, but you will miss 100% of shots you don't take, because if that was the same situation, we would have got Jackson Cantwell. We wouldn't have just flipped Dante Wright. So you can't have both ways.
It's you don't get Justin Scott, you don't get Hayden Lowe. If you tell them, oh, stop wasting energy.
It's not your time or energy or money. So just chill.
And it's not NCAA on PlayStation. Like, we don't have recruiting points and we use the
You only got X points.
Yeah.
Man, I wasted all my recruiting points on this kid in Chicago. Now I can't get nobody to come sign. Yeah, it don't work like that in real life, y'all. All right, so let's pivot, man. Let's talk about the guys that we did actually get to come in to this class.
Sunday was a nice day, man. The cornerback. I think you pronounce it Ayeya. Is it Ayeya Hall? King Hall.
A King, I think I King or A King. I'm not sure. It's
like A King Hall. A King Hall.
Okay, yeah.
We'll call him Hall.
We get him, flip him from Oregon. Oregon definitely wanted to keep him in the class.
Florida State fan said he was a drop.
We're not listening to those below 500 characters.
That man said, I saw the plug here, y'all. Shit.
He definitely was somebody that Oregon wanted to keep in the class. USC kind of thought they was going to flip him. And I think I guess they beefing because they both from out in the air. But USC and Oregon kind of like really, really beefing bad. So, but we was able to flip him. Another top, I think the top 10 corner. I view him as a Keyonte Scott replacement. I think he's going to that's what he's going to be. I don't think he's going to play the traditional corner spot, which is why I say we still got to go get us another corner.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like that addition, man.
He's according to 247. I think it's the composite. Let me double check before I say it. So the composite, and his composite ranking is number one player in Alabama. Number 9 cornerback, number 73 nationally. That's the 247 composite. So that's
they got everybody. 73 nationally.
Yes, that's his composite because they got him lower. 247 got him as number 6 in Alabama, 17 at cornerback, and 131 nationally. So the other services right now.
Got him ranked.
Yeah, Rivals and ESPN got him ranked higher than 247 does right now. But 247 usually a little late on their updates anyway. So
just looking, he didn't get his first rating until like 2 months ago. He was a zero star this whole time. And I don't know who discovered him. I don't know who saw him. Oh, you know what? Let me not say that. I know Terry Jefferson was the reason. They say it was all him when it came to that commitment and all that, that relationship. But he was a zero star until they gave him a 90 on March 6th. And then he just went from there. Like he just been climbing. Like everybody, I guess they seen the film, they seen him camping and all that. He just went from like a 90 to composite to like a damn near 97 composite in a little as like 2 months. So I can imagine if he would have got discovered earlier, he probably would have been close to like a five-star cornerback. He probably would have been a five-star cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, they got him listed at 5'11", so he's probably 5'10". I mean, that might hold him back in that regard. But, I mean, he's got good weight on him already, though. He's 190 pounds.
He's kind of actually bigger than that, because I've seen him.
Think he's taller than that?
Yeah, he's at the battle camp down here. I give him 6 foot. I give him about 6 foot.
And they got him listed at 190. I saw him. He's got good weight on him already. He got ready weight.
That's why I say he's a Keontae Scott replacement, because he already got that size. He ain't even got in college yet. So
right, fast too, man. That was one of my biggest. By the time you add him and Dante Wright, we got some real speed on the outside, which I think that's been missing for the corner position at Miami for a little while, consistently at least. Even the guys we got now, I think you're looking at guys that are like kind of they got length and technique, and they get in the body of these guys and play well in that respect. But I don't know if we've got on roster right now that blaze on the outside. And adding Hall to this class, I think you add some real deal speed. And you know, D-Rob, you kind of spoke to it. His profile rolls fast, because I mean, his offer list includes, you know, Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Michigan, Mississippi State, Missouri, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Texas. His offer list ain't nothing slouchy on here. Like, so that goes to let you know, like, he was just slept on. And I mean, part of that too is he's out of Dothan, Alabama, which I used to live in Pensacola. That's Panhandle. So they're not necessarily known for the top level of football out there in the Panhandle. They've had some great players come out of Panhandle, but all in all, you know, that's probably why he went a little more slept on. But great flip, great addition. It kind of grew legs pretty fast. I remember hearing about the kid like last week. And next thing you know, he was coming on over to the class. So shout out to Terry Jefferson and you know, the rest of the staff doing the work on that one. Get him on in this class. And then
I like it. Oh, and I like it because to add with what we got last year, we took four corners last year. So you take three this year, man. That's seven corners. To go with what we had the previous year, you got to continue to add corners in the class, man. And like you say, these two are elite speed guys. You know, I don't think what we got last year. I think outside, you know, Jaden Waters, I think he got some nice speed on him. The one who has, I think Portis is going to be a shocking surprise for us.
And then I've been hearing a lot about him in that nickel position as well, where they think he really could thrive.
So yeah, I like it. You know, just continue bringing in talent. You know what I'm saying? Because at any moment, you know, we looking at us being an elite team and playing 16 games. You're going to need that depth. You know what I'm saying? So
for sure,
we keep adding that talent.
For sure. Then the other commit we got just a little bit later on that evening, Javon Dawson is a name that I think we had just brought up recently. It might have been on that space, but I know X had just recently mentioned this young man out of Santa Lucia's community or whatever, smaller school too. I never even heard of the school.
Oh, that's good. That's like Lantana. Like what? Like,
so that's the same school.
Wolford.
Yeah, I think Zach McCloud. Yeah, Zach McCloud went to Santa Lucia's too.
No.
He came out of Santa Lucia, if I'm not mistaken.
They both did.
You talk about Wolford. No,
but Wolford went there.
McCloud went to I forget the school McCloud went to, because I remember when they came to Pompano when they had played what you call it? Ely. They was playing Ely.
I think somebody told me Rousseau played there for a little bit too, but that could be wrong. I thought somebody told me Greg Rousseau played there, maybe 1 year or whatever. But Edge from down there, 6'3.5", 6'4", 215, long, rangy kid. I got to watch.
16.
Yeah, he's got some real speed. I got to watch his huddle before we got on. He's really good exploding off the edge. I think he's going to need some work working on his moves, you know, at the next level to actually develop his technique. But like you just mentioned, X, the speed, again, is something that is already there. And you can't teach like length like that, right? So his ability to just, when you got, you know, kind of remind you of Rousseau in that sense. Rousseau is obviously bigger, but the one thing that Rousseau had that made him, you know, just super hard to deal with and then is, still is today is that wingspan, man. He can reach out and just touch somebody. That's why he nicknamed him Groot. That became his nickname. I don't know. Did he get that at Buffalo, D-Rob? Is that when they start calling him Groot?
Group,
nah,
yeah. He got that at Miami. He got that at Miami.
I never remember hearing that. Okay,
yeah, nah, they were calling him that at Miami.
Yeah, so
Zach McCloud, he did go to Santa Lucia's. He was at Santa Lucia's also.
Okay,
oh, okay.
All right, but I think the interesting thing with him is what position will he ultimately end up playing? Because you got to love his speed. I don't know if he stays at the edge or if they looking at him to maybe be a linebacker. What you been hearing, X?
Yeah, he's going to stay at the edge. They're going to put about 20, 30 pounds on him. So he could play tight end also.
Okay.
And me personally, I'm like 6'4", 215, 4'6 speed. I would rather him catch the ball.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, if he can catch the ball. Yeah, that's a hard matchup, man. You know what I'm saying? You put that, you know, them 25-30 on them. But, you know, he's the perfect example of these kind of players that you know, we always say, how did he get over there? They beat us at NC State. And you go out there and say, what the hell? How we let this dude get out of here? Who is this kid? This is the perfect example of one of those type players because as of right now, he's only got 3 stars, right? So he can't be that good. Right. So you're just supposed to skip over him. You know, he don't have enough stars in order to be in that same neighborhood.
So Dawson said that Dawson was like, man, this is the same type of player that we don't get that goes to the other school and he whoop us and we like, why we didn't get him?
Why exactly. We didn't go after. That's
yeah,
facts.
That's why I was like, cause Dawson really discovered this kid. He discovered him at tight end, but when they went to go see him, he was playing defense end. You know what I'm saying? So they were like, oh, Jason Taylor special. You know what I'm saying? And like you say, his raw talent is definitely going to be developmental once he get to college. He got to work on moves because right now he's just faster than everybody.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
He just blast off the head and just reach out. That's it.
Yeah, so it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to block that in high school, but, you know, in college, they got stuff to block that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're definitely going to need to put in some work. And Jason Taylor definitely going to get him right.
That's the guy to do it, right? We got a guy that's of that same kind of build that will teach him how to, you know, properly use his gifts. Because the physical gifts is the one thing you're not going to easily replicate. A guy that has that type of height, wingspan, speed, you ain't going to find a lot of those. So, good get. You know, I'm always, I think one thing I really like now, and I think I used to think differently in previous staffs, I trust Mario and this staff so much that everybody that they bring in, I get the vision and I see where they could end up being a contributor for us. Versus with some previous staff, I used to be like, I don't know what bro going to do here. And that's usually how it turned out to them. Like, why? Who? Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing, what they're seeing, why we're wasting our time. And most of the times, I went. They never played or, you know, transferred out, yada, yada. So, anyways, unless there's anything else pressing, I think we good. Are we good? Rob, yeah, one more.
Today, Gerald Chandler, the safety linebacker, committed to Clemson. He was one. Yeah. That Miami wanted, but Miami wanted him as a linebacker. Clemson, I guess, is going to give him an opportunity to play safety, which I can about 80% say he's going to be a linebacker. So, but it's his decision. And he made a decision. I think this week on the 21st, Randall, other linebacker that Miami's after, he commits on the 21st. That's something that Miami feel real good and confident about.
Keep hope alive.
Also, I feel good about that one too. I like him. He's You know, I think he'll knock somebody's head off with their head in the helmet. You know what I'm saying? So I want that. I need that. We need that at Miami. So, and
yeah.
Oh yeah, the offensive guard, Interior Williams, he pushed back his commitment date to July, I think.
Yeah,
I think
that kind of makes me nervous. That kind of make me nervous a little bit.
He's gonna take his official. Well, so this is what I was told. What I was told, because he wants to take his official visits. He just didn't want to commit to Miami. Well, Miami not really don't want him to take official visits.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it'd be like,
right. Okay. You're right on your decision. Yeah, and that's what he did allude to that. He just wanted to make sure he's doing the right thing. So if he want to take his official, do that. So. All right, well, we're going to get up out of here, man. Appreciate y'all pulling up with us. Be back with you all very soon. Peace.
Peace, peace,
peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.